Ever catch yourself eating the same flavorless dinner 3 days in a row? Dreaming of something better? Well, HelloFresh is your guilt-free dream come true, baby. It's me, Keke Palmer. Let's wake up those taste buds with hot, juicy pecan-crusted chicken or garlic butter shrimp scampi. Mm. Hello Fresh. Stop dreaming of all the delicious possibilities and dig in at HelloFresh.com. Let's get this dinner party started.
Hey, what's up? Coming up on the Holder Mess podcast, I'm trying to give Kim a compliment and she immediately thinks I am insulting her. Does this sound familiar to you?
Because you told me I smell.
No, I said that.
So, yeah, I'm going to take that as.
I said that you're smelling better. That's a compliment. Anyway, that and much more unqualified marriage advice right now.
Oh, bonjour. Comment allez-vous? Je m'appelle Vanessa Pelkem, nous sommes deux personnes qui créent des vidéos pour les familles. Mais maintenant nous avons un podcast, ouais, un podcast. Ce n'est pas très bon, mais nous essayons notre meilleur. Nous essayons notre meilleur. Hey, qu'est-ce que c'est? C'est la bronze. Ouais, qu'est-ce que c'est? C'est la bronze. Hey, qu'est-ce que c'est? C'est la bronze.
What are you saying?
Welcome to the Holder Mess podcast. Okay.
What was that?
Well, our producer Max is in France. So
yes.
I thought I would do a French open. So I did Google Translate.
And no way.
I wrote a song.
So you were probably making threats to our country.
No. The good news is I actually know France. French. I speak France very well. I speak French.
You speak American.
No, I took a fair amount of French in college, and I get most of it.
And so you still have those brain cells.
We're Penn and Kim. We make videos for families. Now we're doing a podcast. It's not very good, but we're trying our best.
What was the thing at the end that
that was
repeating?
Just my French teacher in high school. Ms. LeMay used to always say
Miss LeMay.
Ms. LeMay.
So in English, LeMay. It was lame.
No. That's funny though. It was LEMAY, but that is funny.
Miss LeMay.
I hope she's listening. So she would always say "Qu'est-ce que c'est?" and we'd always go "C'est la branche."
Like, what does that mean?
What is this? It's a branch. So it makes no sense.
Sorry, I don't know why. I loved the song.
Right.
It's among my favorites.
It's a tribute to Max.
I have no idea what you're saying.
Well, most people didn't. And that's good because it might be bad grammar. But, you know, I do a different style every week.
Yes.
And I was trying for Zydeco because I love Zydeco. And I
ended up with
just a French lesson, I guess. I don't know.
Well, that was really cool. So Penn is doing a different open every week. I think at this point, at the beginning, we were just trying to find the best one. But I think at this point,
it's
you're just
challenge.
Locked in
yeah,
to
a
trying
challenge.
A new open every week.
Right.
Last week was one of my faves because it was our son.
Mm-hmm.
But this was, I liked this one.
Well, thank you. Okay, so today on the Holder Mess podcast, we're actually going to revisit something that we did 2 years ago. You know, we've been at this crazy business now for about 4 years. And about 2 years ago, we started a website so we could do more blogging. And we did about 2 blogs before we stopped doing
I mean, there's a good 4 or 5 blog posts on there, but
we should probably pay more attention to it. But it's funny, someone reached out to us from a publication in Phoenix or a website. And they'd seen it.
Funny story. It was a TV show.
Oh, really?
Yeah. Good talk.
Were we on TV?
I think so.
Oh, great. Well, anyway, we wrote a post called Unqualified Relationship Advice. And I look back over it and it wasn't terrible. I mean, we're not qualified. It's why it's called unqualified. But it was not the worst thing we've ever written.
Yes. Thanks for that lovely setup, Penn. And I think everybody right now is going to continue listening. Definitely.
You mean because I said it's not terrible?
Right.
I agree.
So these are unqualified. We just figured we'd go through some of our unqualified marriage advice. We say unqualified, so I can do the disclaimer here. We are not certified in any sort of counseling at all. But these are things that have helped and continue to get us through our daily lives together.
We've taken 11 trips around the sun as husband and wife. In these years, we've learned a few things about how to love each other, how to fight with each other, and how to stay together. As you can see, Kim's list is a lot more substantial than Penn's, but welcome to our marriage. Should we start with your list or with mine?
I think we can go back and forth.
Okay. I'm going to go with my first. Piece of advice number one from Penn, brush your teeth after coffee. It's simple. My stuff's simple.
Do you always go through, or do you always brush your teeth after coffee, my love?
No, I don't. But I try to when I can. It smells okay while you're drinking it, but then it gets bad. So
it seeps into your soul.
Within an hour of being done. I do try to go brush my teeth within an hour of drinking coffee, but then I'll drink more coffee.
Yeah, you're a giver like that, honey. Mine is go to bed angry, which contradicts every marriage counselor's advice ever. Because here's my thing. I'm an introvert, and I know there are a lot of you out there. And I feel like at some point, you just run out of words to say. And after I've been talking all day long, and if you're in an argument, you keep talking. At some point, my brain just reaches its limit of words, and I have to shut down. So even if that means I go to bed a little upset, I know in the morning I'm just refreshed, and I've had some distance from it, and things always seem a little bit better when you have sleep.
I don't love this one, although I've abided by it. No, I don't like going to bed angry. I like to get things fixed. I do understand your standpoint.
Yeah.
And we've abided by that rule before.
Mm-hmm.
I think that I have a tough time sleeping when that happens. I think you're perfectly fine going to bed holding a grudge against me.
Well, they're never big, huge, like, terrible crimes against our marriage. So
go to bed perturbed. That might be a better, like, not full on angry about anything.
Okay,
that works. Next one for me. If you think you are doing half the cleaning, you are doing 20% of the cleaning. This was the premise of the television interview, apparently.
Right?
This was what they found interesting. Should I try to explain this?
No, just leave it like that.
Okay.
And just move on. No, of course, explain it.
I feel like I'm doing half the cleaning. It's not true. I figured this out after 13, 14, how many years? 13 years of being married. That I am adding way more value to my cleaning than I should, and not assessing enough value to the cleaning that you are doing.
Mm-hmm.
I look around the house and I see a mess, and I clean my portion of it, and I think that that's half when there are four people living in the house.
Right.
That's another problem. The other issue is men, or me in general, when I clean something up, I will get out a trumpet or a trombone.
You won a medal.
I will announce it to the world to make sure everyone knows that I did it. You do not do that. So you do sneak cleaning when I'm not around. So I think I'm doing half, but I'm doing 20%.
And this theory, it came to light during babyhood when we had babies that needed poop diapers that needed to be changed. As a mother, you, like, a kid is a full diaper, you go change it. Where Penn, there's a poop diaper, and he wanted a ticker tape parade. And I was like, listen, dude, you've done one. I've done 47. So you were very good about doing halfsies. But
it took me a while to realize what halfsies was.
Right.
Halfsies is a lot. Halfsies is like 80%.
Yes.
So I've got to do 80%.
What you have to feel like it's 80%.
That's what I mean, in my brain. And then I'm doing half.
And then you're doing half. And there's a lot of work to do with the family. So that's why it feels overwhelming. I remember being a mom for the first time and thinking, oh my God, this never ends. The laundry and the cleaning and the feeding. And then I was like, when is this going to stop? And it's never.
No, it's still going on. Never. The answer is never. There are some things. Our kids will wake themselves up.
Right.
And they'll get themselves dressed. And they'll sometimes even make themselves breakfast.
I know. That's my rule this summer, is that I'm not going to make you breakfast. You made them breakfast this morning. You made them eggs and bacon. But there are bagels and cream cheese and cereal. And Lola she's confident on the stove. You can cook it. So she's on her own.
All right, your turn.
My turn. Next on my list, just be nice. Sometimes we save the worst version of ourselves for the people we love the most. I know because I'm so comfortable around you, if I'm in a bad mood, I will let you see my bad mood, whereas a stranger can come to the door and I'll be all perfectly pleasant. It's out of whack, and I'm guilty of it, but my mom actually gave me this advice, and my mom, who is now happily married, she was married to my dad and maybe not so happily married because they're divorced now, but her advice to me was always just be nice and work to find ways to be nice to your spouse. Do those little things.
I like what you wrote. You said, try to give your spouse the best version of yourself, and I think that's very sweet.
And you, okay, the best version of myself is not the one sitting across from you because I haven't showered today.
Nope.
I have not brushed a hair or put on any makeup.
Have you put on deodorant?
No.
I may have noticed that. No, it's okay. It's okay. I like that. No, I like the way you stink.
No,
you've been wearing a sweatshirt all day.
Like, it's really cold in here. Honey, it is the middle of the summer and it is 70 degrees. By the way, I just did a sniff. I did put on deodorant. Oh. So I just must smell.
General musk. Maybe it's the sweatshirt. Maybe it's the Fratagonia that you haven't washed in a while.
Maybe it's me.
Maybe
it is you.
It could totally be me.
Anyway.
All right. So I like that one. And I'm glad that you mentioned it because there have been times, you know, when it really comes out, and it comes out for any of us, if you're out to dinner with another couple and I become the shut up and I become the be quiet or go away. And then you're nice to the other couple because that's like your manners. And then you're kind of short to me.
Uh-huh.
And that's not my favorite thing. But you've gotten better at that.
I guess I used to do that.
Yeah, but you've gotten better at it.
Sorry.
No, it was really nice. Like, it is an improvement. I feel like if someone... See, that's the problem. If you improve on something, I can just not talk about it. And that's better because...
Well, it makes me sad.
Yeah, instead of taking it as a compliment.
Well, it makes me sad to think that I was ever mean to you, but I know that we're married and I know that I could be in... But...
No, it wasn't mean. It was just a little shorter. And I wasn't your favorite when we were out. And now you're better at it. It's okay. Well,
you're always my favorite.
I know that I am. But as you said, and this, again, this is a great thing to talk about, you sometimes give your spouse the worst version of yourself because you're the most comfortable around them.
Right.
And it really doesn't, as an extrovert, it's I notice it the most when we're with other people.
Right. So. And I think it's an energy thing.
Yeah. But you've gotten better.
Man, it sounds like a terrible person. Oh my gosh,
I'm saying, this is what's happening. I'm telling you got better, and it goes to, here's the beep, beep, beep translation. Used to be a huge beep, which I am not saying.
Okay. And now I'm a smelly person who is very rude to my hair.
That's not what I'm saying.
Oh my gosh, I need to go take a shower. Okay.
Okay. My next one. Give your kids all the love you can, but it's okay for your spouse to still be your favorite. I think that's pretty self-explanatory, but I'll just say that is very difficult sometimes when you are so busy with younger children, absolutely showering them with love and attention and affection. But I do think you have to sit back, if you can, once a day and look at the person who gave you those children and let them be your favorite, because they should be. They're not going to poop. They're not. They know, like, they're for the most part, they're better people. They've learned more. They have manners. They don't watch, you know, they don't sneak away to watch TV for like 3 hours.
I think it's tricky. And I see women fall into it, honestly, more than men do. But it's very easy to let your entire world get wrapped up in these little people. I mean, I know. And they have to, right? Because the kids, they can't take care of themselves in the beginning. They can't wipe their own butts. And so it's easy for... And they can't even feed themselves. So it's easy for your entire world to get lost in these kids. It's a very weird thing. And it happens to a lot of people. And that's why a lot of marriages, and that's what our marriage counselor friend Christopher Edmonston has told us, that a lot of marriages will end when their kids go to college. And my parents actually got divorced when I went to college.
Really?
Yeah.
I thought it was in high school.
No, I was a senior in college.
Okay. I'll tell you this. I stole this one from you. You don't even know this, but you said something to me right when Lola was born. You were like, can we still be each other's favorites? And I love that you said that.
Mm.
So this is plagiarism. This was your idea.
You're welcome.
And I don't know if you still believe it, but you are still my favorite.
You're still my favorite.
And it's not even close. So Okay. Your turn.
Okay. I wrote, find someone who loves you even when you wear nothing but sweatpants for 6 months.
We need to edit this and make it a 13 years.
13 years. Okay. Because I'm still in sweatpants and now I still kind of smell. So sorry.
No, you have one pair of sweatpants that I don't think that when you were writing this, you thought you would still have. But
I know. I bought a pair of sweatpants when Lola was a baby, and I wear them every night, and they have holes, and they're disgusting, and I love them because they're so comfortable. Well, this was just in reference to that crazy time after babies. I got hit with the postpartum depression train pretty hard, and I got professional help and all of those things, but Penn really did. And we've talked about this before. Penn was my just human golden retriever through all of that and really helped me through that. So that was, yeah, you're my
favorite.
It
was my privilege and my honor. I can't believe how tough you were. And if you weren't so tough, we probably could have figured that out about 3 months
I know.
Before.
I was like, it's fine. I'm just tired. No, actually.
It was amazing. Like, you've given natural childbirth and you've done unmedicated postpartum depression, which is
And then I got crazy. Medicated and it was a whole lot better. That was a whole lot better.
Okay, this one's quick. Throw out underwear at least every 10 years.
Oh my gosh.
Have you noticed my underwear game has gone way up since
Only
we wrote
because
this thing?
A company sent you free underwear.
Right?
I know this, but why? You can buy your own underwear.
It's a weird thing.
I know, but somebody...
You have to like look at their package. It's eye level. Somebody, not that there's anything wrong with the male form. I'm not trying to be homophobic or anything, but it's just a weird process.
It's not your
underwear.
Jam.
No, I think that the underwear subscription delivery service, if they don't already have it, could make a ton of money.
Well...
Because you don't want to do it.
But how often, though? How often do you need new underwear? I still have maternity underwear I wear.
Oh my gosh. How old is Lola?
She's 11.
Okay.
But I wear it at night sometimes.
What does that have to do with anything?
No, just because it's very like comfy. Whereas okay. My other like daytime frisky fun stuff.
You don't think it wears out as quickly when you wear it?
No, it's incredibly comfortable. I mean, it is longer than most shorts the girls wear these days. Yeah. is that gross? Is
I don't
that
think
gross?
So. And this
I mean, I wash
me.
It.
This was something I learned from you, and
because you had underwear,
these holes started forming underneath the, and it looked like it honestly looked like I was farting so forcefully that I was blowing a hole in my underwear.
And I mean,
that's not what it was.
Is not what it was. And it's so funny because they're a. Yeah, company said, hey, would you advertise these underwear? And I don't ever know what happened with that. We're like, send us to try them out.
No,
and
they actually wanted to work with me being behind the scenes helping them write stuff. They just sent us some, and they've just shown up in our videos, and they're thrilled, I think.
Your underwear have been in our videos?
Yeah, the laundry video. When we dumped them out, you could see it.
Oh, geez, that's a stretch.
Well, they were excited.
Were they?
Yeah.
Oh, geez.
That's called just natural integration, natural brand integration.
I know.
So if you want to advertise the Holder Mess podcast, you can
Man. Exactly. This podcast is brought to you by Penn's Holy Underwear. Huge gaping holes.
Oh my gosh! Let's move on. Okay.
Mine was learn his or her brand of crazy. So I know that Penn gets he's incredibly creative and he gets really overwhelmed on certain things, like certain things. And I kind of giggle sometimes because I'll say, hey, you know, can we change that line to this? You're like, okay, fine. I have to start all over. I guess I'll have to start all over again. And it'll take you a total of 14 seconds to change it, and you say it'll just take me 8 hours, and then I was like, okay, well, I think it's worth it. I think it's worth that additional 8 hours.
I'm so guilty of this. I can't even tell you. I don't know. Like, I have no recourse. I have no defense except for the fact that I'm now aware of it.
Yes,
and it doesn't. I even though I'm aware of it, I don't know if I'm getting better.
And it's okay because I know it's your brand of crazy.
Right. If I'm getting better, it's very small increments.
Well, I mean, it's like I smell and used to be mean. You still get overwhelmed.
You don't smell.
I'm like, I'm really self-conscious.
And no one can smell you on this medium.
Yet. But I think that I definitely have corks and I'm loaded with them. I don't even know how you put up with me.
Well, I love you.
Aww.
And you're awesome. And you're very self-aware of your crazy. And there's a large percentage of the population who isn't aware of their own crazy. I think that could be kind of folded into this entire theory. In the same bit, you were mentioning that I get overwhelmed in this thing on Monday mornings.
Mm-hmm.
Like I'll drop the kids off and I'll get home and it's 8 a.m. and I want to go have some coffee and read the paper, and you are standing there with a list of things,
right?
Which is fine. It's the best way to start the week. So I've learned that part of you, and I just stay in my car for maybe 3 extra minutes, just for a beat. I take a breath.
Just take a beat.
I take a breath. I'm like, here it comes. I bring the coffee with me,
mm-hmm.
and I drink it in the car. So I finish my first cup of coffee, and then I walk in the house, and I'm ready for it.
Now I know where to find you.
You're going to come out in the car now. I'm trying to have a coffee.
Knock, knock, knock. Hey, yeah. Hey, babe. No, and I know I get overwhelmed. There are certain people that I get triggered and I get overwhelmed and weird. And you were so good about just kind of coaching me through. So,
well, yeah. I also leave crap everywhere and I space out and forget everyone's name. Even if I spent an entire evening with them, I could tell you a story about how they graduated from college and went to Australia for 2 years and got in a boat accident in Brisbane, but I wouldn't remember the person's name. But I could remember every detail about everything else that we did. So that's awful. And you help me with that sometimes too.
Well, except for I'm terrible at names too. Okay. Moving on.
Is it
on.
My turn?
Yeah.
Okay. I'm going to skip this one because it's got bad language.
Oh, I find a funny way to say it.
Okay. Don't half butt Mother's Day. Use your entire butt for that one. Oh, I know why you want this, because we have a good story attached to this. The first Mother's Day that you, if there's anyone with a newborn, the first Mother's Day that you have for a woman who just gave birth, you should really bring the lumber. Kim had, I actually had the child over the weekend, and I thought that was like a hall pass, because she got back on Saturday night. You were out of town.
Mm-hmm.
And in my brain, you were like at a girl's weekend, but I think you were at a funeral.
No, I was. My aunt was in the process of dying from cancer, so I was at her bedside.
As I said, I got that part wrong. I'm going to get, like, this whole story, I'm going to get a lot of things wrong. Okay, let's just go ahead and say that. So Saturday night, we went to bed. Sunday morning, we woke up, and Kim sort of woke up, and she's a mother, and it's Mother's Day, and kind of smiled and stuck her hands out like, shower me with gifts. And I had done absolutely nothing. I'd done nothing. And my plan was, in my head, was I'm going to wake up, I'm going to make her breakfast, and then I'm going to go shopping for Mother's Day gifts, because I was around this child all weekend and I just did not have time with everything else that was going on. And that went over poorly. Because it's, I think Mother's Day, I'm learning, is more about acts of service than stuff. And if you give it to them in the middle of the day and you didn't plan ahead and actually think about it beforehand enough, that is not an act of service. That is an act of disservice.
I think that other women may be more into the stuff, and they may say, because like they're one of those love languages is, oh, like get gifts and stuff like that. So I'd rather just get a bigger gift in the middle of the day. I'm 100% acts of service. Show me you love me by taking my car to get an oil change. Like that is, whew, that's hot right there.
Or if you woke up and I was baking a pie or mowing the lawn or doing anything other than sleeping.
Hot. Yeah. That is the hotness right there.
Right.
So yes, that was, and I just was expecting something. So now
I have learned, these are all lessons. I have learned to use my entire butt for Mother's Day.
No half butting it.
And just to have everything in place.
Yeah.
Well ahead of time.
Yeah. And by the way, I don't even ask, like, there's no, it's like flowers and breakfast.
Oh, I know,
and we'll go out to lunch. I don't want a gift.
Or a note or whatever.
Yeah.
But just not wake up and say, hey, I'm gonna get to it.
I'm going to go over to the grocery store and get
I don't ever do that anymore. No.
Okay. My next is spend time together and spend time apart. Spending time apart, let's start with that. I think this is something you and I do very well. And maybe it's because we work together, but even before we worked together, we did this very well. I think it's very important that in a couple that you have your own hobbies and your own friend group. You actually inspired this because you have this friend group from college and you go on it's a standing yearly guys trip. So I've said, hey, well, then I want a standing yearly girls trip. So I do now a girls trip. And it's so nice just to be a part and be your own person. and then you can come back and be refreshed and you can miss that person.
Anybody who says they want to be around their wife 24 hours a day, 7 days a week, or their husband, I just want to figure out if that's a human.
Well, no, I mean, maybe in the beginning, I don't know.
Right. I'm saying like 15 years into it, like us.
Yeah.
Is there anyone out there who actually does not ever want to be? And look, I miss you. I do too. But I also like it.
No, I have to say, it makes me miss you. Yeah. You go away for 2 nights and... You know, we get all schmoopy and miss each other.
And so, by the way, we see each other more than 99.99999% of couples. Totally. We work together. This is work. And we're 3 feet away and we're talking about our relationship. How's that sound, guys? Does that sound like something you want to do for a living?
No, stop it. No, but even when we didn't work together, you took that's these true. Guys' trips. No, we did. I can acknowledge that that's harder, especially if you have a job that takes you away all the time. Yeah. So that would be hard. The spending time together is the one that this is a challenge for us, because spending time together and not talking about work or the kids. Our pastor gave us this advice of 5 minutes a night, and we aim for every night, but let's face it, about 3 times a week we make this happen.
Right. And that's no screens. That's no screens. Looking right at each other. No kids.
Yeah, no kids. No screens. And it starts out with, how are you doing? How are you feeling about X? And you, again, trying not to make it about work. And sometimes it's about, it weaves back into it, but we take it out. But I really do like those times when we can just talk to each other.
Can I throw something out there? This woman who's at our church, you know her, Ann Brooke Raynell. She's awesome. I'm sure she's not listening, because this is probably, she's just doesn't want to listen to this. I was at her house one time at dinner, and her kids, who were, I think, between the ages of about 9 and 14, mm-hmm. were eating dinner inside alone while we were outside. And I was like, Ann Brooke, I mean, we're wrapping up this meeting. We had a meeting on her porch. Do you want to go have dinner with your kids? And she's like, no, we never have dinner with our kids. Huh. And I said, what? She goes, this is how me and my husband communicate. We never eat dinner with our kids.
That's the way to
do it. We let them eat on their own, and the two of us have a dinner together. All the time. Or maybe during weekdays, and then during weekends it's different. But they have a standing date for dinner where their kids aren't invited to eat with them.
Hey, man, don't knock it.
No, I think it's a great idea. I'm throwing it out there. It's something we should do.
No, well, I think every family is completely different. I know, and I have another girlfriend, and her husband works really late, so she feeds the kids earlier. That way, when he comes home at 8 o'clock, she eats with him. She waits to eat with him. I think whatever works for your marriage.
Yeah, but I would love to just
not be around
not eat with my kids.
Well, I actually enjoy our family time at dinner. So you're gonna
when
lose
they're not
this.
Watching like TV.
We never let them. We have like once a week the TV will be on. I'll be running around. I'll let them watch TV while I eat. But that's
I guess
about
I'm
once
usually
a
the
week.
Last one to the table, and then yes. when I sit down and I go and I sit on the side facing away from the TV, and I'm just looking at two people who are
that happens staring. Once a week. I let them literally once a
okay.
week. Okay,
fair enough.
Yeah,
sorry. Okay, so is it my turn?
Yes.
Okay, two. I'm gonna lump two together, and we're getting close to being done with this. So thanks for your patience. DVR sports games, you can get through them in like a third of the time, which makes watching sports less annoying for her. On that note, trying to get her into sports so she'll watch it with you will never happen.
That's not true.
Those are the two things. And it really is, if you can manage to stop and then DVR it, you can get through a football game in 40 minutes.
Well,
and see all that you need to see.
I think that's a tip that works for our marriage. And I also view the whole sports viewing thing as something of that's your own hobby. That's your own, not a hobby. Mm-hmm. Sitting on your butt is not a hobby.
Hey.
Hey. But that's your thing. And so on Sundays when you do that, I do other stuff. I do get resentful because Sundays is when I do the grocery shopping, the meal prep and all that stuff. And you're kind of sitting on your butt. I get a little resentful.
I understand. And I'm going to try to get better at that. Now, I have found a way to loop my children into this.
I know. He wants to have them start a kids' fantasy football
league. No, it's happening. I've got a 12-person league. My son and my daughter are both going to be in it. So if they want to, they can watch the Red Zone with me on Sundays. If they want to. If they want to go outside and play, that's what we'll do.
Okay. Moving on.
There is one symbiotic sport that we both can watch together and both get exactly what we want. And that sport is golf.
Oh, I fall asleep.
Immediately. Just the sound of an iron hitting a golf ball.
Don't even describe it. You're getting tired. If I have trouble sleeping, I just turn on a golf.
Especially if Jim Nance is commenting. It's like, oh, let's go to Butler Cabin. Hootie Johnson.
I'm out.
Apples. Boom Boom on 17.
What? Excuse
His
me?
His name is Boom Boom. Don't worry about
Stop.
It.
Stop. Okay, moving on. This is my favorite and it's become a joke in our house. Before you criticize, find three ways to compliment. So
this is part of the musical we're writing.
Yes. Yeah. If you listen to our last episode, we talked about the musical The Pen is Writing, but one of the songs that's written is about this. And this was advice given to us by a marriage counselor that you find three things to celebrate your partner before just going in for the kill. So it's something like, Pen, you're so talented. I love how hard you work for our family. And thank you for, you know, fixing my computer the other day. But could you also find a way to put your flipping underwear in the fucking hamper that is literally 2 inches away? So it seems really kind and gentle. And then I just like go in for the kill.
And it's really funny now because after she says, well, sometimes after she says one nice thing, because you don't normally say anything.
I'm smelly and mean.
Hey, I'm saying.
What are you doing over there?
I'm picking peaches out of my teeth. There we go. Man, the peaches are really good this time of year in North Carolina. We don't compliment each other enough.
Right.
So when we do, it's like Pavlov's dog. You start, you know, you hear the dinner bell and you start drooling. And if you get into two compliments in a row,
oh, stop.
You know the hammer's coming.
I know.
Because no one ever gives any. I think what we should start doing is I should give you three compliments and then stop.
Oh my gosh. I would be flipped out about what you were going to say next.
Right. Because we sort of brace for it. But I'm telling you, I still think it works. Even though you know it's coming,
mm-hmm.
you get a little laugh, you hear something nice and affirming, and then you get to move on. Because criticism by itself is never fun.
Right. Like, you told me I smell.
Okay. I told you that you are beautiful in a burlap sack. I've told you that a million times. I think you look beautiful right now. Something funky is going on. I don't know what it is. It may not be you. It could be me. I told you that too.
Oh my gosh. I'm so self-conscious. I'm going to burn everything I'm wearing.
It's been a long day. You've been wearing a fleece in July. So,
because you keep our house at like a meat locker.
I got it. Okay. So I do like the 3-in-1 thing. And I think I endorse it. I think everyone should try it. Okay. My next one, and I'm getting close to the end of mine. Try your best to keep it tight. You will never be as pretty as her, but she appreciates you trying.
Do you try to keep it tight?
Working out?
No, I thought you meant like just grooming and stuff.
Oh. I try some. You don't like a 13-year-old manscaping situation.
No, my gosh, we are getting really.
Well, you're the one who brought this up. No, I.
No, I thought you meant like.
When you say keeping it tight, it means you're working out.
No, and you look hot. No, you have like a super hot body.
Well, I'm trying very hard.
You know what though? I don't want to be married to the guy who. And I mean, no judgment, but what I'm about to say is something I don't particularly like. I did date a guy one time who waxed his eyebrows, and I found it really alarming because it was really precise. And somebody who cares enough to like perfectly sculpt eyebrows, I don't. There was something about it that was just very off-putting.
Right.
But
you're married to one of the senators from Gladiator.
I know
now.
Your hair on your eyebrows kind of, and like, so I think I would like a little more attention to that.
Okay. Well, this is something new for my lessons that I've learned that I'm learning right now. That I need. You mean all over?
No. Okay. I appreciate everything else you got going on, just okay. The eyebrows.
Eyebrows. So here's the thing. It's really painful, Kim.
Oh, my Lord.
If you just told me that that guy looked alarming, if I actually took this as something that I would do, what do you think would happen?
Oh, you would end up with no eyebrow hair. No, I just want you to like, or just allow me to
trim
them. I
will allow you. You do it all the time.
Because they just like poke out.
Okay. You took me to get my eyebrows threaded one time.
How was that?
It was the worst however minutes of my life.
It was like 37 seconds.
I told you afterwards in confidence, because you make me do lots of crazy things, that I liked that less than going into labor.
Yeah.
And that's the truth.
Okay. Moving on. Because this is really, I think after we stop recording, we're going to end up fighting about stuff. We're supposed to be like marriage advice.
You know what's going to happen? You're really going to lay into me about whether or not you smell bad. Yeah. You've turned this into...
I just don't smell it.
I don't smell it either. Not right now.
Because I'm 3 feet away from you.
You know how when you're really close to somebody, sometimes it's your smell is bouncing off of them?
No, I think I smell.
Okay. Can we just move on? It's okay. We're packing all day.
Okay.
This
is not a romantic afternoon. Okay. My last one is, you don't always have to like him or her, but loving him should be easy.
Oh, wow. Did you get that off a cocktail napkin or where'd you get
that? No, I wrote it.
It was nice. No, it was...
No, I feel like you don't always... Sometimes there are annoying habits like the... crazy eyebrow hair and leaving the underwear next to the hamper, but you should always be in love with somebody. And that's why when people say marriage is tough, I agree. I mean, marriage involves a lot of compromise, and there are days when you're like, dude, I'd rather just not be here surrounded by these people. But it shouldn't be hard like that. Loving somebody shouldn't be hard like that, I don't think.
So her last lesson was it shouldn't be hard.
No, and it should, you don't have to like the person all the time, but you should love them. Loving them should be an easy thing.
No, I got you. I was just trying to make an immature joke and you didn't fall for it.
I'm sorry, what?
Okay, so this was a little bit shorter of a podcast than we normally do. It's like all but under 40 minutes. So sorry we didn't get you all the way around the block if you were planning on like a 4-miler today.
I know we heard from somebody who has a 40-minute car ride or 45-minute car ride and wanted a 45-minute podcast.
So for you, what you can do is just start the next one and then we'll be all set.
When Max gets back, we'll start our instant talent show up again. So keep those song suggestions coming. If you could do us the favor of rating, reviewing this wherever you get your podcasts. Also, I love it when you guys tag us on Instagram when you're watching the podcast. When you're listening to the podcast and you've tagged us on Instagram, I love seeing it and I love commenting on it. So give us a listen, share it with your friends if you want to. If you hate it, you don't have to, obviously.
Much more to come.
Thank you.
And thank you so much for watching. And honey, thank you so much for being married to me and for telling me about all of these lessons that you've learned.
Okay. I feel like this wasn't good for our marriage.
What do you mean? What we just did?
I know. No, maybe I just feel bad because I smell. I love you.
Love you. Bye.
Ever catch yourself eating the same flavorless dinner 3 days in a row? Dreaming of something better? Well, HelloFresh is your guilt-free dream come true, baby. It's me, Keke Palmer. Let's wake up those taste buds with hot, juicy pecan-crusted chicken or garlic butter shrimp scampi. Mm. HelloFresh. Stop dreaming of all the delicious possibilities and dig in at HelloFresh.com. Let's get this dinner party started.